T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it's only me. It's not Tara. But hey, we'll keep the needle bouncing. We'll keep it going and the discussion continuing, of course, all the way between America in the Morning that wraps up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And, of course, Vince Coakley, who shows up at 10. So we keep that space filled. And that's essentially my job. It's filled. We could play polka music, I guess, but I would rather just talk with you because, after all, we are 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And also to be found at 106.3WORD.com. And, of course, on the old FM dial, the standard and proverbial 106.3 FM. You've got 101.5 FM in Anderson and 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca. To chat with us by various means, try the Ingalls Markets talk line at 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. We'd love to hear from you. Or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Again, the Ingalls Markets talk line, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. We'll see what the texters are up to in a moment. In case you missed it, here's your chance to win a grand in the $1,000 bankroll. On 106.3 WORD. That's special. That's a lot of dough. The key word, by the way, for this particular hour is midnight. The key word is midnight. M-I-D-N-I-G-H-T. Midnight, okay? Just text that to 72881. Text and data rates apply, or may apply, in this national contest. And again, this hour's key word is midnight. M-I-D-N-I-G-H-T. The $1,000 bankroll on 106.3 WORD. Delighted that you're with us and that you're taking part, because we have all this money that is just burning a hole in our pockets, and we just have to make sure that you get some. Please help us out here. We don't know what we'll do if we can't give this away. It occurs to me, as we hear more and more of the administration prattling on about the transparency at the southern border, although I love Joe Biden's comments during his news conference, which were basically, we're committed to being transparent when we feel like it, when we're darn good and ready. That's the problem with allowing Biden to enunciate his own policy. Sometimes he can be a little too honest. But the problem here is the same problem they had with unity, raising expectations. When you talk about how transparent you're going to be, you make people pay special attention to transparency. It's like the president's inaugural address. His inaugural address addressed unity and healing. And a lot of us were therefore saying, even though we were skeptical, we're saying, well, he's putting an emphasis on unity and healing. Surely he wouldn't do that unless he was serious, because then you're just setting yourself up for failure. Oh, little did we know, they were willing to set themselves up for failure. We're for unity. We're for healing. We've got those buzzwords out of the way. Now, agree with us or get rolled over. Don't raise expectations if you don't have any intentions of fulfilling those expectations. You're setting yourself up for failure. Again, I would have to thank the administration for doing that, just as I thank them for any number of things. I thank them for creating a crisis that didn't need to be at the southern border. I do thank them for raising our expectations about healing and unity and then doing nothing about it. I thank them for raising our expectations about transparency in many matters, especially at the southern border, and then dashing those expectations, setting themselves up for failure. Thank you. Speaking on behalf of those who will be voting against you and voted against you the last time, thank you, thank you, thank you for setting yourself up for failure. It's just amazing what these folks do sometimes. They do not have their act very well together, and I hope that that stays that way. I really hope it stays that way. I guess you heard about the new plan put forward by the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg. They plan to issue a vehicle mileage tax to help fund some of their multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure proposals, which in and of itself is rather interesting. I will agree that, in fact, there are portions of our infrastructure that have gotten old all at the same time, and we did not keep them up appropriately or, in some cases, replace them appropriately. I would agree. And some of that needs to be spent. Yes, it does. Not all of it, because a lot of what they will call infrastructure money will be things for everything from the National Endowment for the Arts to public broadcasting. Their definition of infrastructure is similar to their definition of COVID aid, which is anything we want to spend it on, anything we want to spend it on. But what's interesting also is the fact that this would be a tax on the very people that Biden had promised he would not be taxing. He wasn't going to tax the middle class. He wasn't going to tax anybody making less than $400,000 a year. Well, I'll guarantee you that every American who drives is going to be paying if this becomes the law. This is a tax principally on the middle class. By the way, for those who wish me to repeat the key word of the hour, it is midnight, 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 okay? You text that to 72881. Text that to 72881. The texter says infrastructure could be the code word for the Green New Ripoff. Well, that'll be hard to do unless you really lard on so much other stuff that nobody notices that the Green New Deal is in there. I would have to think that they would notice. I would certainly hope that they would notice. I don't believe that there's enough that you can dump on this. There's not enough lipstick to put on that pig to make it attractive. I don't think that that could be done. Surely somebody would notice if the Green New Deal was sneaked into to one of these bills. But I get your point, certainly. Think about this also. The only way to have information on how many miles a person drives is to implement some kind of chip into the vehicle that would collect data and send it to the government. Obviously, it couldn't be a chip that was put only in new vehicles. Every vehicle would have to be retrofitted with the chip. You'd have to take your car in. Presumably, if you did not get your car retrofitted for this chip to keep track of your mileage, then you would, in essence, be guilty of tax evasion, I would assume, by the thought being put forward here. Anyway, let's just simply note that there's a lot here that goes against what was originally discussed. No tax on the middle class, and no unobtrusive look into our personal behavior. A chip in a vehicle to collect the data and send it to the government. It couldn't just be in all new vehicles. It would have to be every vehicle. We're talking about taxes now. I mean, a lot of people drive vehicles 7, 8, 9, 10 years, for Pete's sake. No, you'd have to make this work if what the Transportation Secretary wants were to be actually implemented. You'd have to, in fact, have these chips installed in every car in the country. At whose expense? Oh, I'm just guessing. Ours. All right, Jimbo for Terra at 106.3 WORD. The time is 9:15.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, I guess that must be my turn. Here I am, and there you are. And happy to chat with everybody at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, also at 106.3WORD.com, 101.5 FM in Anderson, 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, and, of course, the traditional standard garden variety basic issue 106.3 FM, the Greenville Spartanburg Central Core Upstate metropolitan area. Jimbo Fraterra here, and we thank you for being a part of this here thing that we're doing today. It's interesting to note, again, how the administration is shooting itself in the foot on so many occasions and raising expectations that aren't necessary. If you aren't going to be transparent about the border, then don't say you're going to be transparent. We won't pay as much attention, but when you go out of your way to heighten expectations, we pay a particular attention. Same thing goes with this healing and unity message that first came out in the president's inaugural address. And you may recall that. And I quote, "My whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people and uniting our nation." Well, I'm sorry, but that was a lie. Hope for unity and bipartisanship is dead, 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 and Joe Biden killed it. Now, the White House News Secretary Jen Psaki has boasted that the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 stimulus plan, allegedly, is the most progressive bill in American history. But Biden didn't campaign on the promise to be the most progressive president in American history. Bernie Sanders pledged to do that. Biden campaigned on a promise to bring Republicans and Democrats together. Now, he not only failed to do so, he didn't even try. Now, Democrats are trying to redefine what Biden meant by bipartisanship, saying that his stimulus is bipartisan because polls show it has support from some Republican voters, if not their elected representatives. Sorry, but that's not what Biden promised. During the campaign, Biden pledged to, and I quote, "work across the aisle to reach consensus. I did it when I was a senator. It's what I will do as your president," unquote. And then after his election, Biden declared, quote, "refusal of Democrats and Republicans to cooperate with one another is not some mysterious force beyond our control. It's a decision, a choice we make. If we can decide not to cooperate, then we can decide to cooperate," unquote. Well, on his first major initiative as president, Biden made a decision not to cooperate. 10 Senate Republicans, led by Susan Collins of Maine, that's certainly the most cooperative Republican you can imagine, answered his call for cooperation. Called his bluff. Biden didn't even make a pretense of pretending to negotiate. He held one meeting with them and then effectively told them, "I don't need your vote, stick it." Why? Because Democrats knew the time was running out to use COVID-19 as a pretext for this unprecedented tidal wave of government spending. Cases have been declining around the country. The economy is reviving. We have the approved vaccines and enough doses to vaccinate every American probably by May. So the pandemic emergency is almost over, and with it, the need for emergency action. So Democrats had to act fast if they were going to use the pandemic as an excuse for this massive expansion of the welfare state. Well, they did. But again, they raise the expectations. If you aren't going to be a healer, if you aren't going to be a unifier, if you aren't going to be bipartisan, it is stupid of you to say that you will. If this is your game plan, as it obviously is, you would have been a lot smarter just to not emphasize your desire for reaching across the aisle. Again, I thank you for your stupidity, Mr. President, but I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe it. All right. Of course, as we know, the $1.9 trillion, and of course this new bill that's being proposed now, I'm sure will be the same way, was not about COVID-19 relief. Even parts of the bill Democrats claim are about the pandemic are really not. Biden, for example, said the $170 billion for education was necessary to reopen schools. But even Mitt Romney pointed out the Congressional Budget Office only found 4% of the money for K-12 schools will be spent this year. Some won't be spent until 2029. When even Susan Collins and Mitt Romney are calling your bluff, you've got a problem. I don't know if they've noticed. Again, as I said before, I will say it again. Thank you. Thank you for making yourself look like a fool in ways that you didn't have to do. We appreciate that. But Democrats have been cynically using the desperation of American parents to get their kids back in school as a ruse to pay off their teachers' union allies. The irony, of course, is that Biden not only failed to advance the cause of unity, which he at least allegedly, purportedly wanted to advance, he actually set it back. Until now, every one of the relief bills passed since the pandemic began had been a bipartisan effort. Hadn't pleased a lot of people, hadn't pleased everybody, but it had been a bipartisan effort. Biden took that exercise and made it partisan, capital P. But of course, in his address to the nation, on the passage of the legislation, Biden actually had the gall to say, beating this virus and getting back to normal depends on national unity. Again, the hypocrisy just drips. Maybe hypocrisy having four syllables is beyond the lexicon of the Democrats. I don't know, but I do know this. You're making yourself look like a fool again in ways you didn't need to. And so in a perverted backhand kind of compliment, let me say again, thank you. Thank you for deliberately making yourself look hypocritical. Thank you. And, of course, the Democratic spending juggernaut is hardly over. Despite the campaigning promise of a $2 trillion infrastructure climate plan, Democrats now want to spend as much as $4 trillion. $4 trillion. Do I hear six? Six. Do I hear eight? Before the relief bill, Biden would have found a willing partner with Republicans for a large infrastructure package. We do have problems with our infrastructure, actual infrastructure. Indeed, he could have countered the GOP senator's $618 billion initial offer by suggesting they include infrastructure spending in his plan, which would have allowed him to get his top-line number in a bipartisan way. But that would have crowded out his other special interest giveaways and obviated the need for phase two of the Democrats' spending spree. So, no bipartisanship. Working across the aisle? Well, you said you were. Thank you for making yourself look like a fool. All right, this is Jim Bohannon in for Tara at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stand by, we got more good stuff coming your way. The Ingalls Markets talk line, 1-800-347-1063, and the time now is 9:29. Yes, indeedy. Thanks for being with us this morning. We do very much like the chance to chat with the Upstate or anywhere else you may be. Sometimes people may be listening, of course, at 1063WORD.com. And, hey, if you're out there in Outer Mongolia or the International Space Station, we're delighted to hear from you. Our Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. 1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. Texter says, have you not learned that the Democrats always mean the opposite of what they say and are always doing the things they accuse the right of doing? Yes, of course, I have learned that. I'm merely pointing out the fact that we do pay attention, and therefore it's a dumb move. it is self-defeating. Yes, that's what they do. No question about it. That's what they do. And again, I thank you for that. Keep it up. Keep it up. We're not all dodos. We are not all ignorant. We are not all refusing to pay attention. And when you do that, you make yourself look stupid. So again, thank you. Thank you. I don't know why they do that. It sets you up for failure. And bless their hearts, that's just what they're doing, setting themselves up for failure. Oh, we have a limerick alert, by the way, from Alan R. of Spartanburg, who always brightens our day with some of his hilarity in a rhyming form here. Joe's presser was history's best, but reporters are easily impressed. Joe read from his sheet and stayed on his feet, and he needed no help getting dressed. The new standard. Yeah, that news conference. Oh, some of the stuff that came out of that news conference, the massive pause at one point where he was talking about getting things done, and it seemed like a 30-second pause was actually more like, I guess, about 5 or 6 seconds before he added, we'll get things done. And then the previous guy, meaning, of course, Donald Trump, oh, how I miss him. We miss him, too, Mr. President. That was one part of your news conference in which I agreed with you. Yes, we miss him, too. Of course, we're serious, and you were tongue-in-cheek. Okay, here. Let's see. This is something from the National Academy of Sciences, not considered, by the way, a hotbed of conservative thought, incidentally. The National Academy of Science has been looking at the long-term cost to taxpayers of immigrants and their descendants, and the report indicates that if amnesty for illegals were to be enacted, the government would have to raise taxes immediately by $1.29 trillion and put that sum into a high-yield bank account to cover future fiscal losses generated by the amnesty recipients and their children. Now, to cover that future cost, each U.S. household currently paying federal income tax would have to pay, on average, an immediate lump sum of over $15,000. Think about that. If, in fact, we were to actually pay for granting amnesty, it would cost $1.29 trillion immediately in new taxes that would have to be put into a high-yield bank account just to cover the losses. Okay. And to cover that cost, assuming that we were actually going to do that, assuming we weren't going to just dump it on the national debt, but if we actually covered the cost of amnesty, each U.S. household currently paying federal income taxes would have to pay, on average, an immediate lump sum of over $15,000. Think about that. If you consider yourself an average American family, if you pay income taxes, how would an immediate check for 15 grand affect, immediate bill, I should say, for 15 grand affect your bank account? Most people couldn't begin to cover that. Well, you don't have to worry about it, of course, because we're not going to. You don't have to pay that. Your kids and your grandkids will have to pay it. The National Academy of Sciences report, by the way, is titled The Economic and Fiscal Consequences of Immigration. And it looks at fiscal balance projections for their immigrants and their descendants over 75 years. The fiscal balance of an individual equals all government taxes paid minus all benefits received. Federal, state, and local benefits and taxes are included in the estimates. The National Academy of Sciences report shows that the fiscal balances of immigrants vary according to education level. Immigrants with low education levels impose substantial fiscal costs that extend far into the future. The government benefits they will receive greatly exceed the taxes they pay. Well, duh, there's a major surprise for you. And important because, of course, current illegals have very low educational levels. What a surprise. I would never have guessed that. Either that the people breaking in have low educational levels or that they wind up costing society. What a shock. I hope the administration's not shocked by this. And again, it's from the National Academy of Sciences. They are not an apologist group for conservative thought. Around 10 million adult illegals currently are in the U.S., according to the National Academy of Sciences estimate, which is probably a little under, but then we never really know because they're here illegally. Nearly half don't have a high school diploma. Overall, adult illegals are 6 times more likely to lack that diploma than our U.S.-born residents. Again, what a surprise. Illegals currently receive routine government services such as roads, sewers, and police and fire, which everybody gets, and they get just by virtue of being here. The children of illegals currently receive heavily subsidized public education at an average cost of $12,000 per child per year for being in this country without having the right to be here. Children of illegals born in the U.S. are eligible for the same welfare benefits such as food stamps, Medicaid, Obamacare, and temporary assistance for needy families as children born to U.S. citizens. Same benefits. Because illegals already receive many government benefits and services, they currently impose a fiscal cost on taxpayers. The benefits they receive exceed the taxes paid. Again, I'm shocked. Amnesty, or so-called earned citizenship, would provide current illegals access to an additional level of expensive government entitlements and benefits. All of the immigration reform bills debated in Congress for the last 15 years would have granted nearly all current illegals eligibility for future Social Security and Medicare benefits after 10 years of work. These bills would also have given amnesty recipients access to almost the entire U.S. welfare system after some modest delays. There you go. And this, again, is from the National Academy of Sciences. This is not something that's been put together by National Review or the American Spectator or some conservative group out there. No, this is from the National Academy of Sciences. And these tend to be people who are hemophiliac liberals. They bleed for all causes. And that's the cost, a bankrupting level of cost. It's unbelievable. This is 106.3 WORD, now at 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, 101.5 FM in Anderson, everywhere on the radio.com app. The time is 15 before 10. Hi there. Good morning, everyone. Pleased to have you aboard today on the Bohannon version of the Tara Show as we talk to Bill in Taylors. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I think all the things you've been talking about are of my concern with the amount of money we're shelling out to everybody. We're obviously having to print it, and there's really nothing going to back it up. So our economy is going to fail pretty soon, and the dollar is going to go away.
Well, I don't know that we're in imminent danger of that happening. Ultimately, yes, that's the big question. It's like playing chicken. How long can I wait before I swerve away? We are seriously damaging the economy. At what point do we default? Honestly, I swear to goodness, Bill, I don't know.
Have you heard anything about this thing called the Fed coin or the ID coin?
A Fed coin or an ID, other than your standard U.S. currency, no, I can't say that I have. What are you talking about? I'm afraid I don't know.
Well, supposedly the ID coin is going to be a coin that's going to be used by the Social Security Administration to basically take away any kind of card or such as that, and everything will be inside, I guess you'd say, or loaded into a coin type device that...
Well, it wouldn't be a coin, I'm sure. I mean, you're talking about some kind of identification put into some kind of what amounts to an identity card that has digital information. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Correct. It's going to be all digital.
Well, I can see that happening, yeah.
And there
Go ahead.
There's also talk about the obvious eventual failure of the U.S. dollar and a new currency-backed situation out there. And so the federal government will create a Fed coin, and that'll be our currency rather than the dollar.
Oh, I don't know that that can happen. And honestly, I, again, currencies are still based on the available worth of the economy. I don't see the dollar going away. I do see us reaching the point where we'll eventually have to face up to the indebtedness that we've created. But I don't know about some new mechanism, and I'm not even sure what the new mechanism would supposedly even create. Ultimately, a country's currency, it must be based in some way on something believable. It may not be backed up by gold, but it is backed up by some credibility, and some new device like this I don't think would stand the scrutiny of the world. It certainly would no longer be the reserve currency. So my guess would be that we will keep pushing the dollar until such time as we feel that we can turn around and stop, at which point can you stop on a dime? In other words, if you tap dance on the edge of the Grand Canyon, to what extent are you in fact making a severe, risky gamble on just how adept you are on your feet? We are already seriously endangering this economy with the level of indebtedness that simply should not be allowed. And at some point, we're going to have to institute an actual paying for what it is that we spend, not just putting it on the gross national credit card. At some point, that has to be done. And in fact, that would be a balanced budget amendment with actual teeth in it. I personally favor a surplus budget amendment, which is to say that except in times of a declared war, which we haven't had, of course, since December the 8th of 1941, or in the event of an economic emergency that would be defined, basically would have eliminated the crash of 08 and anything since the crash of 1929, that except in those cases, 1% of all federal revenues would have to be earmarked for paying off the debt. I don't know if in fact we have the will to do this. We're so used to the free lunch that I think that we're talking about a real challenge, honestly, Bill, to the whole ability of a free people to govern themselves. That's a real question. Do we have?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, that's just my thinking. What do you think?
I'm totally in agreement, brother. Yeah. And in 2022, we better vote strong.
Vote and vote strong. And something else, ask the people who are running for office. Go to public forums. Ask them. Are you in favor of a balanced budget amendment? Are you in favor of balancing the budget and being required to? Ask them. I mean, and only when enough people do that are these people going to realize that that might be a paying issue. Right now, most of them think that it's a paying issue to keep up the free lunch to shaft our kids and our grandkids. So, there you go. Your point is well taken, Bill. We're on the edge of a crisis. I don't see the end of the dollar just yet. But the problem is we're playing chicken. And apparently there are those out there who think that we can keep on doing this and keep on doing this until we get right to the edge of the precipice, but we can stop in time. That's a pretty risky bet. A pretty risky bet. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Jim Bohannon in for Tara at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, we're delighted to be continuing here in just a few moments with your chance to win a grand in the $1,000 bankroll on 106.3 WORD. So just stay tuned for that key word. In the meantime, I will tell you that I've had a hoot filling in this morning for Tara, and we'll do it again one of these days. I'm not sure when I'm next coming in for Tara or Charlie or whomever, but it's always a lot of laughs, a lot of fun. And you people are bright people. You people, by the way, are the future of this country. Never forget that. Never forget that. Till next time, Jim Bohannon sitting in and saying, stand by for news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.